Well, today I'll be continuing our series in Christ Alone, and today's message I entitled Jesus, Our Rock. Yesterday, Glenn already mentioned this, but it was we had a really great annual business meeting, but it was just really great to see church family. It was just so nice. I just so miss seeing everyone and getting to see more and more people. Some people I haven't seen since March was just such a joy. But after the annual business meeting, my family, we joined up with the Remington family. We went down to Keene Valley, which I've been through it a lot, but I haven't been in the water in Keene Valley. And there's a spot right across from, it looked like a grassy airport. Some of you might know where this location is, but just a nice, crystal clear, very cold stream, a lot of rocks in it, tiny waterfall ripple thing going on. It was just beautiful. So it was just a great day to spend out in God's creation and just enjoy that. But when I was in the water with the kids, I just love like building things or whatever and seeing them sometimes fall over. But there's rocks like everywhere. It wasn't really sandy. It was very rocky, a little tricky to walk across. But I found this big, big flat rock that was in the water. And it was probably about 8, maybe 12 inches under the water. And I said to the kids, hey, let's build an underwater tower, which I've never built an underwater tower before. I just make this up as I go. So we started grabbing some rocks. We had some big ones. The kids would get little ones. Sometimes they get really big ones. It's like, whoa, if that falls, there goes your sibling. You know, you're like, we'll put those to the side. But we built this tower, and it was falling. It got back up. But we eventually got this underwater tower to go above the water. And I was just so excited. I was like, we got from an underwater tower to above the water tower. And it was right where the current was the strongest. It was just coming right through. I kind of had like a funnel thing, and the water was going down. We're building it right there. I thought it was so neat just to see how the rocks could stay together and withstand the current of the water as it was built on a solid foundation. I didn't look around at some of the sandy locations. I didn't look around at some places that were mixed with sand and rock. I wanted a solid slab. When I was growing up in New Hampshire, we rented a farmhouse our first year there, and it was built primarily on a ginormous piece of granite. It was like huge, and it was just, you go in the basement, it's just like almost like a whole wall of the foundation was just granite right in the ground. It was a solid foundation to build upon. And I want to look at that from a spiritual place this morning, specifically with Jesus being our rock, and specifically looking at Jesus' words being a foundation that we either take into our heart and apply, or we just acknowledge and move out from there. So we're going to go to Matthew 7, verses 24 to 29 will be the primary text we'll be in today. And this is Jesus sharing in a bunch of little topics, and this one he's going to talk about two builders. This is a message that, for those who maybe grew up in the church community, I remember hearing this story over and over again as a young child in Sunday school and children's church, but yet still there's application for us today. And as I realize more and more as we're growing together towards maturity in Christ, it's not how much we actually know, but how much that we're actually applying through God's strength that makes the difference. So Matthew 7, verse 24, this is Jesus talking. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind was blowing and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for how you came to this earth on a rescue mission for us, for people. God, thank you for your words that you spoke over 2,000 years ago to those who were listening, both those who were following you and those who weren't really big fans of you. But God, you spoke with authority and with power. And God, we pray that your word would have your authority and power in our hearts today. God, we'll be open to receive from you what you have, that our lives might look more and more like Jesus. In your name, amen. So I want to look at two primary steps for building on a solid foundation. As Jesus is sharing this parable or this story, he has a point to it, and he explains it right in the parable. Essentially, there's one who builds their life upon hearing God's word and applying it. That's like someone built on a solid foundation, that when storms come, with rain, with wind, with difficulties, they can withstand it. And then there's another person who also has exposure to God's word, but yet does not put it into practice. That's like someone building on the sand. When those same storms come, when the same winds come, when the same difficulties come, they're not able to stand. It's interesting in this parable, and I think it's a good reminder for us today, that whether you're following Jesus or not, you'll still face difficulties. Amen? Right? You still go through hard things. You still go through challenging things. Jesus isn't saying that you follow after me and everything's just going to be easy and hunky-dory. Actually, usually it gets harder. It's like going up a very steep hill or a climb on a narrow pathway, where a life away from him is almost like a highway that seems at least easy in the moment. But we can face different challenges whether you're following Jesus or not. And he's specifically drawing a line between those who are hearing his teaching. And he's been in a teaching mode of a lot of different topics right before this and explaining what he's been teaching upon. And then not only just teaching, because he's the master teacher, he's saying, you really got to go and apply it. You actually got to put this into practice. And so the first thing I want to look at is exposure to God's word. This is step number one if you want to build on a solid foundation, with Jesus being our rock, is exposure to God's word. I read this part of this, actually I read the whole chapter, but I want to read part of this from Psalm 19. This was yesterday, I opened the annual business meeting with this scripture. It talks about the works of the Lord, but also talks about the word of God. And it's Psalm 19, 7 to 11. I love the psalmist. I've read this about three or four, I don't know, five times this week, just to see the psalmist delight for the law of God, for the word of God. There's just something when I'm just reading this, I'm like, Lord, I want in. I want this kind of perspective. I want this kind of zeal. I want this kind of valuing the word of God. And you'll see that in the scriptures, which is why I want to read it. We get exposure to God's word, but what's our perspective when we come to God's word? What do we come with? Or what do we don't come with? So in Psalm 19, 7, 11, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Come on, need some of that right here, right? The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warmed. In keeping them, there is great reward. Wow. What a perspective when it comes to, specifically it's talking about the Old Testament law, the law of the Lord that was given to the Israelites. But the perspective that David was coming with was just like, wow, Lord, does my perspective and desire come with that same kind of earnest and value for the words of God? I know this is Old Testament, but you'll see in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I love how David the psalmist just mentions that that the law of the Lord is to be valued even more than gold, than having a whole lot of gold. I think if it was nowadays, probably the contextual thing would be the word of God is worth more than, right, money, than lots and lots of money. What we consider maybe most valuable in our culture is, yeah, you have a lot of money, and he's like, the law, the word of God, it's such a greater treasure than any earthly substance. Whatever material people hold as the highest thing in their culture, God's word is even greater. I was just like, wow, Lord, I want that. I want that desire. Maybe you're here today, either in the assembly hall, in the tent, online, or the recording. You're like, I want that too. I want to have that desire that, Lord, your word is the thing I treasure throughout my whole day. It's not a, Lord, I have to make space to get into your word. It's like, Lord, I just got to keep finding time throughout the day to be in your word. It's greater than my bank account or the savings or what I'm hoping to have. Lord, your word's just that precious. And then he talks about it being sweeter than honey, and specifically drippings off the honeycomb. I mean, how visual this is. It makes me think, if you've ever been down to the Wild Center down in Tupper Lake, they got this cool, like, kind of indoor honeycomb kind of thing, and you can see all the bees working so hard, and you just see everything going on. It looks scary because all the bees, right? But the honey looks really, really neat. And in the Holt family, we are big on honey. Like that word right there, like that connects. If my kids are watching right now, they know. It's like, oh, honey. My kids' favorite breakfast, which they just seem to love more than anything else, is oatmeal, milk, and honey. And honey is a key part of that. Oatmeal and milk, that doesn't cut it. If dad's putting out oatmeal and milk in the morning, not so excited. They'll be like, where's the honey, Dad? Where's the honey? They just love honey. And this culture that was really, really special, that the honey from the honeycomb was something so sweet. And David's looking at the word of God and having this sweetness, this desire. I mean, I'm desiring this more than what we would use in the Holt family to sweeten our oatmeal. Lord, I want your word more than that. It's better. It's sweeter. So my question as we're going through this, as we're talking about exposure to God's word, how do you relate to God's word? Are you coming with that kind of desire that it is valuable beyond comparison? Are you coming to it that I desire this more than the sweetest substance I could possibly have? And maybe if we're contextualize this to northern New York, sweeter than maple syrup. I said it, okay? Sweeter than maple syrup. And some of you can make some really nice maple syrup. Man, God's word is still sweeter. Our exposure to God's word is so important, but also the way we come to it. If it's something that our heart doesn't desire, then oftentimes our life doesn't reflect time in God's word. In order to build a foundation on the solid, on Jesus and his word, we have to delight in his word. We have to seek after his word. We have to receive it as a gift. Both of those who are hearing this in this passage are both exposed to God's word. Their heart issues isn't mentioned. It's just saying they're both hearing, specifically in this context. But then one takes it a step further, starts applying it, and that's the step two. I want to look at applying God's word. I want to look at two examples of those who were doing this in either a false way or in a way that wasn't really working out. The two examples that Jesus gives actually right before this are both in chapter 7. The first one is in Matthew 7, 15 to 20, and he's talking about those who appear like they're doing the right thing maybe on the outside, but in their heart, they're not really seeking after to honor God or his word or apply it. It said in verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." This is where you get like the hypocrisy thing. Living one way on the outside, but inside, the word of God is obviously not there. Even though the outside might appear, it starts with the heart, and then we work out from there. 16, it says, "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." And so he's talking about the external exhibit of hearing, receiving what God has, and either having that in a play that it's working through you, and your life is characteristically shown by that, or there's those, and specifically, that were faking it on the outside while inside the word of God was far, far, far from their hearts. Matthew 7, 21 to 23, right after this, is, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? And do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Jesus is so much more after our hearts responding to his word than us just giving him lip service or faking an external that, hey, everything on the outside I do seems to be the real deal. But the Lord's looking for those men and women who would receive God's heart, word with joy, that would build their life on the rock by applying it and would seek to honor him. Application is so simple in concept, but as we probably know, it's so hard. Many of us probably know how to do a lot of different things, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're doing it. The common example is oftentimes when it comes to exercise, right? Or dieting. I know so many things about dieting and exercising, but I don't do them all, but yet I know it. We can do the same thing with spiritual truths. We know it, but are we doing it? I love what Karen said about forgiveness. It's a great example. We know the concept, probably most of us. Jesus forgave everyone extravagantly. We're supposed to forgive others. But yet, what is keeping us from applying that? Now, when Jesus is saying to do this, it could sound like this is just like a as John Ott would say, two-step dance, that all we need to do is receive and then do. But that can get into, apart from God, it can get into us trying to live kind of like a ritualistic religion lifestyle if we're doing it on our own strength. And I always appreciate John Ott because he would always say it's a three-step dance involving God and the Holy Spirit to really help you accomplish saying no to sin and yes to Christ. We don't do it alone. So I want to look at a couple of ways we can apply this today. And the first thing I want to ask is, what is your approach to God's word? Do you value God's word as being greater than any amount of money or gold? Is it sweeter to you, more desirable to you than the sweetest things we have, whether that's honey, sugar, or New York maple syrup? Do I really desire God that much in his word? How can we access God's word on a daily basis? For some, it's as simple as reading the Bible, having a place to work through, maybe starting in the book of John this week, or maybe you want to go into a proverb a day. You could use a devotional or a YouVersion devotional app. I know some have a hard time being able to read God's word for various reasons, and so I know some who are just tuning into an audio Bible and letting God's word speak to them. And this is a part of exposure. My mom, who many of you might know from back in the day, or maybe don't know, I'll know her, but Donna Holt, she recently took my, in our house in New Hampshire I used to live, she took my brother's closet, which was a complete bomb. My dad cleaned it out as a gift to her, and she made it into a prayer closet, because she wanted a place where she could be not distracted by anything, the cell phone, things going on in the life or whatever, and just have a place just to be with God's word, and just let God speak to her. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like for you, but it's really good to have some kind of plan and strategy each day. How am I going to be exposed to God's word? I know for me, it has to be a priority. For me, it has to be a priority in the first, especially with having kids and for people with young kids. The day goes so fast that if I don't start with God's word, I'll just be honest, I have a very difficult time getting time with God's word later on. And so I'm just like, I got to wake up earlier, which means I need to go to bed earlier, which it can be hard, especially when there's little ones and there's a lot of variables there, great variables, but you're not sure always what your time will look like. We need to be creative, we need to be diligent, we need to be intentional to grow each day with exposure to God's word. But then once we get exposed to God's word, then we got to think of, Lord, how can I apply this today? And that's a great prayer as you're reading scripture each day, is, Lord, how can I apply this today? What's one thing I can take from this? Maybe not 10 things, because honestly, unless you have a really brilliant mind, 10 can be hard to remember. I just have a hard time with one sometimes. So just pick one thing. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to apply today with your strength for your glory? And the Lord, if you let him speak to you, he'll show you. He'll show you exactly what you need to do. We don't want to just keep consuming knowledge and information without applying it. In the book of James, the example that James gives you in his letter was specifically faith without works is dead, which is pretty strong. Meaning our faith should be, a faith in Christ should automatically show good works like a tree that's bearing good fruit. Jesus' example in this passage, he says, knowing God's word without application leads towards destruction. Both of them are pretty strong, right? Faith without works being dead. If your life is built on God's word without application, you ultimately will lead to destruction. Your whole life's building will collapse in the storms, whether it's the ones we face in life or at the end of life. But houses or lives that are built on Jesus' word and application can stand for all, both this life and all for eternity. I want to invite up the musicians at this time as they're getting ready. I know some are inside the assembly hall, some are outside in the tent, which is fun. But in Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, so far we've looked at Jesus being our rock, but specifically it's his words that are our rock. But the person of Jesus, when it comes to us, as followers of Christ, he is what we build our entire life upon. I love how Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus these words in chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. He says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So you get this picture that we're like little building blocks that are being built upon. And in Ephesians, you get the beautiful thing that Jesus is the cornerstone, which is the block that two walls would be being built upon, referring to the Gentiles and to the Jews. But also that we're not just having a life that's being built on Jesus, but we're having a life that's being built on Jesus to be a place that the Holy Spirit can dwell within. Isn't that awesome? The Holy Spirit is dwelling. So it really has nothing to do much about us, even though we're valuable to God. It has a lot more to do about Jesus being the chief cornerstone and us reflecting a place that the Holy Spirit can be welcomed. The Holy Spirit can be received. The Holy Spirit can dwell within us in a way that we reflect the glory of God. God's word is so powerful. I mentioned it before. It has the power to, it's profitable, sorry, for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And sometimes we don't want to approach God's word because we're living in a place of brokenness, or Karen used the word in her video, which the Bible talks about is sin. And it's great to be honest that, Lord, if you're pointing things out with your word, God, would I be honest to be able to be saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. Just like Paul and Leah offered forgiveness to Karen, Jesus, in the most amazing example, offers forgiveness to us today. So don't run from God's word. I would embrace it. I would encourage you to embrace it. But be open for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Sometimes we can be like building blocks that need a little bit of correction. And I'll just finish with this. When I was in Ecuador on a mission trip once, and we were building a church building, we were building walls, and we had all these cool little bricks, and the bricks were all baked. But some of the bricks, they look clay. I'm not sure that was the material, but they look like clay bricks. I don't know much about building. But some of them had these massive bubbles on it, and the only thing I can liken it to is if you've ever been to New York City and you've gotten like a large pizza, very, very thin, with cheese, and then on the edge, a massive crust. Sometimes on the crust, you'll get these huge bubbles. That's like, it looked just like that on the bricks, and I didn't taste it, so I can't say it was New York City pizza in Ecuador. But it looked just like that. And it was great to see these construction workers take these bricks with a chisel, and then they would chisel out these deformities and impurities, because it needed to be completely even. It needed to be a nice 90-degree edge to it. And so they would chisel it and chisel it. They were already a building block, but if you were to build upon this block and other blocks, it would all be crooked in the end. And I think that's oftentimes what God does in our life, that he's working in us to chisel. And when we get exposed to God's word, it's a little bit of chiseling. Sometimes it can be painful, but he's producing something in us that will actually benefit us, but also benefit others. Let God chisel our hearts this morning with his word, that we might conform to the image of Christ. I want to take a moment to pray as we'll be responding in time of praise and worship. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that you are more committed to us looking like you than we are. And God, you give us the tools and the abilities through the power of your Holy Spirit to both receive your word and through your spirit to be able to apply it. Lord, I pray that we would have our own personal lives would be ones that would be founded on a rock, not on the sand. Lord, I pray for marriages that would be founded on the rock and not on the sand. Lord, I pray for families that would be founded upon the rock and not on the sand. Lord, may we put Christ in the center of everything we do and say, that you would receive all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you are a rock we can build our life upon. And God, thank you that you're our redeemer, because all of us, we've messed up. All of us have fallen short of your glory, God, but you have come to bring redemption, God, through the cross. God, thank you so much that we can be redeemed, renewed, and restored in you. And God, I pray that we would glorify you in what we read this week, but also what we apply, that you would receive much glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.